right back out to our guest line. It is a football Friday. We don't even have enough time to talk NFL today, but we do have time to talk with Matt Wenzel from MLive covering Michigan State. Matt, glad you made it back from Seattle. I don't know that the team ever got there. What was your travel like?
It was a very brief trip. This is my first time to Seattle, and I saw nothing but the airport, the hotel, and the stadium pretty much. But got out Friday night, 6 a.m. flight back Sunday morning, so quick turnaround. But I thought the environment there was really cool. It was the most unique place I've been to for a college football game with, you know, was it Union Bay from Washington Lake there, and just kind of the setting. Yeah. And I just thought it was a, you know, really cool place, a loud crowd, cool stadium.
You made it back a long time before Stephen Brooks did, and that was not you we saw on TV tailgating on one of those boats outside the stadium, right?
No, I talked to Stephen. Actually, we rode the train in there together from to the stadium before the game. I heard about his travel woes after. That sucks. But we walked around by the water for a minute there before the game and saw the boats. But, yeah, I mean, just pretty cool setting, you know, and the ability to watch the game on a boat and maybe hear the crowd before you see the play on TV. Pretty neat.
A lot was made of sleep banking for Michigan State trying to get ready for this game, although it was basically just a 7:30 start here. Maybe the time change had something to do with it, but it didn't seem to bother Eastern Michigan at Arizona State. I thought maybe Michigan State was still banking some sleep during the first two quarters. How surprised were you that Michael Penix, who we have seen do some amazing things before against Michigan and Michigan State, was able to just carve up the Spartan secondary and have 11 plays of 15 yards or more?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he would give them some trouble, obviously. But I thought coming into the year that this secondary would be better. Had reason to think that. You know, you had all your starters back. You got more depth and experience at corner. But now they just everybody saw what you saw on Saturday out there was what we saw late last season. You know, when you have a high-level quarterback with talent on the outside, then it becomes a mismatch, and that was exposed from the start. So I was a little surprised that it was that bad. But, I thought Penix would give them trouble. I just thought they'd be able to lessen it a little bit more than they were able to. I mean, 397, four touchdowns, and he had, 394 through the air in the first three quarters. So, yeah. I mean, he could have thrown for 500 yards.
Yeah, and no pass rush after having been the best team in the country in that department the first 2 weeks. No pressure whatsoever on him. And the inability to run the football, I think, was critical in Michigan State falling behind 29-8. But I was interested to see Urban Meyer and Joshua Perry, who will be here doing the broadcast tomorrow. When you saw those guys on Monday and they broke it down, Matt, I said, yeah, there are personnel issues. Guys are getting beat. Guys are having blown assignments. Guys just can't cover the way that you would hope someone could on a good defense. But there are also structural issues. And they pointed to a couple of things with Michigan State that I don't know if a lot of people have really followed or been aware of, but this is not a new phenomenon, Michigan State getting torched. And a lot of the same things with guys who are wide open. I mean, it's not a matter of threading a ball through. It's a matter of someone who could fair catch a pass.
Yeah, I mean, again, it looked a lot like last year. Now, I didn't see the Urban's breakdown on that game specifically, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of the same stuff you saw. Now, Mel will say on Monday said it wasn't anything scheme-wise that they thought was a problem, that it was just, you know, errors, whether it was alignment or, you know, this or that, and the players pretty much to a person back that up. But, I mean, if it continues, I don't know what you do. You know, I don't pretend to be the smartest person in the room. These guys know a lot more about football, obviously, than I ever will. And Mel's got three guys on his three assistants on his staff who've been defensive coordinators, and you know, that doesn't even count him. So, I mean, I don't know if they can't figure it out and do something, you know, when these matchups come, when you have a very good quarterback and you have good receivers, you know, Mel hinted at the personnel changes on Monday. I don't know what that's going to be. We saw Chester Kimbrough get benched in the second half for Justin White. Amir Speed didn't have a great day. Neither did Angelo Gross. And really nobody in the secondary really did. But so I don't know. I mean, and obviously, you know, they're missing Xavier Henderson. And that's a notable loss. And Darius Snow, who could be a matchup guy. But I don't know that – I don't know how much of a difference that would have made last week.
When you think about where this defense needs to get and the challenges ahead – tomorrow, Tanner Morgan is not going to be throwing it all over the yard, especially without Chris Altman-Bell, his best receiver. Challenge is going to be stopping the Gophers' running game. But I think you're going to see baby Tungavaloa pitching it all over the yard at Maryland. You're certainly going to see C.J. Stroud threatening 500 yards here in Spartan Stadium. You're going to see a lot of balls in the air. J.J. McCarthy's licking his chops. I mean, there are quarterbacks around the Big Ten, the rest of the schedule, who think, well, this is Michigan State. This is going to be a lot of fun. And someone suggested that you know, Michael Penix Jr. might have done a lot for his pro stock going into the draft next year. And I said, wait a minute. He could get a COVID year and come back. And if he does, you know, he might be looking at the Washington Huskies 23 schedule, see Michigan State on it, and say, hey, I might want to make a run at the Heisman.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say Penix looked like an NFL quarterback in 2020, you know. I mean, remember that game at Ohio State? And the whole year, he looked really good. But, you know, him specifically, I'd think, you know, he's got 4 years in college. He's got four season-ending injuries. If he can put it on tape this year and stay healthy, I would go. But yeah, I mean, your point overall about Michigan State, with the red flags you saw last week, I mean, the first three Big Ten games, Minnesota, Maryland, and Ohio State, those teams are 1-2-3 in the Big Ten in total offense, and that's before you get to Wisconsin and Michigan. So, like you mentioned, it's going to be a different challenge. Minnesota's run first. Maryland and Ohio State are not. Those are going to be another big test for the secondary. But so, yeah, you're going to find out really quickly what this team is made of. And we knew coming into the season, you know, the schedule set up much differently than last year, where, you know, they got to 8-0 with the win against Michigan. And they had, you know, they had a chance to accomplish everything until, you know, they went to Columbus. This year, the schedule just wasn't going to allow that. You know, you were going to find out earlier what this team was really made of. Last week didn't go obviously how they hoped or expected. And I don't know. It's going to be a rough road ahead if they can't fix some of these problems. If you can't defend the pass and you can't run the ball, which last week they were completely unable to do, fewest rushing yards they've had since 2019. You're going to have some big problems. So I think this week will be really telling.
And I think the injury to Jacob Slade is going to have massive effects moving forward, unless he can make a quick recovery, and I don't know that we're going to see him tomorrow. I said something Wednesday, Matt, and Brooks laughed at me, as he always does, but I said I thought that tomorrow's game had the potential to be as important a September game as I could remember for Michigan State, and of course he immediately thought of Notre Dame in 2013 and Oregon in 2014. But those were non-conference games, and they didn't have anything to do with Michigan State winning a Big Ten championship, going on winning New Year's Six bowl games. This is a conference game. And with what it means and with what lies ahead, I think a win here is maybe not must. They'll continue to play if they lose, but this is critical to Michigan State's dreams.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you're going into October 2-2 and 0-1 in the Big Ten, I mean, everybody always loves talking, you know, after a loss like that. Say, well, our goals are still ahead of us. Well, if you're 2-2 and 0-1, that ain't. I mean, technically, yeah, if you went out, okay, whatever. But I mean, let's, you know, be realistic about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, going into the season, you just like last year, you look at the schedule and you see, well, those are wins, and you get a couple probably late in the season, those are wins, but you see a bunch of games that are toss-ups. And last year, that was where they won. You know, what was it, 5-0 in games by 10 points or less, 4-0 in games by 5 points or less? They won those toss-ups. The ones they lost were pretty one-sided for the most part. But, yeah, it's going to be really telling here, this on Saturday afternoon, where this team's at. If you get a win, then they can go on the road, feel good about themselves. You know, Maryland, you know, they can throw the ball around, but I think you'd go into that game still with, you know, some confidence. You lose this game, and then you take, depending on how it goes, and you take a secondary that just got torched to Maryland, where they throw the ball around, and then you got Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Michigan coming after that. You know, things could get ugly.
Who has to play particularly well for Michigan State tomorrow? Who do you think has to have a game, game of the year, game of the career, or whatever it is, for the Spartans to win?
And across the board, you know, I think if I don't know with Minnesota, it's hard to tell with what they really are as a team because they played three cupcake games. So yeah, they're top number two in total offense, total defense, top 10 in all these defensive categories. But I don't really know how good they are. So. You know, some the defensive line, you know, a Simeon Barrow, you know, if Jacob Slade, they're going to need some guys up front to slow down Ibrahim. And, you know, the linebackers are obviously a part of that, Halliday, Van Sumeren, and the other guys that are in there. So, but offensively, Thorne, you know, I mean, we saw good things from him last week. And I think you're going to need to see more of that this week if, you know, they're going to continue to talk about how they need to be balanced and run the ball. And it's totally understandable and all that. But, if you can't run it, I mean, how much do you continue pounding the ball into a wall when you have a quarterback who's shown he can make plays? You got some talented receivers. Maybe Jaden Reed's back, but we saw good things out of Keon Coleman last week. Mm-hmm. Trey Mosley, Daniel Barker took a step forward as the tight end from Illinois.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody. You know, I hate to bring it so broad, but you know, you're going to need to see a lot of guys playing really well for them to come out of there with a win.
Yeah, and we didn't even talk about Jeff Petrowski, but
he's
another one. And so that's 4/11 of your season opening defense gone if he can't play. So, it's not like you can say next up, but you can say it, but that doesn't mean that the guys who are there are going to be as good, as Tom Izzo loves to say. Mm-hmm. If your backups were as good as your starters, they'd be starters.
Exactly. Yeah, Petrowski got hurt in the first quarter, and he didn't come back in the game. You know, was on the sideline with his helmet off, looked like a leg injury. Don't know specifically what that is, but yeah, I mean, if you're down four starters, that's a problem. You know, they're deep at defensive tackle coming into the year they were.
Yeah.
But you know, Slade is arguably their best. I like Barrow a lot. I think there was, you know, some good stuff from him, especially in those goal line stands. But at end, they're not as deep at end. I mean, they play a bunch of guys, but you know, Petrowski was starting for a reason. So, like you said, so there's obviously a concern there. They got Jalen Hunt back last week, but we still haven't seen Deshaun Mallory as far as some of the other tackles go. We saw Alex Van Sumeren; he got in there on the first goal line stand. So, and Zion Young was in there, freshman defensive end, true freshman, both of them. So interesting to see in a situation like that some of the personnel they went with, but. Shows they got they like some of the young players they have up front there.
Yeah, to think what it could have been, the score could have been, without those two goal line stands. That would have been another 12 points for Washington, 14 on the touchdowns, minus the 2 points they immediately got from the safety. So that would have been a 51-point outburst. And that was more like the game really was. I thought 11 points was a little bit deceptive. It wasn't that close.
Yeah, it's a 25-point game with what, 9 minutes to go? Under 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. I mean, I think it was after Michigan State scored to cut it to 12 or whatever in the third quarter, something like that. We thought, okay, all right, this might you know, turn this around and make it. No. The Vikings just takes them down the field again. And you know, it just, they had an answer for everything Michigan State did for the most part. And it was pretty one-sided game, and yeah, I agree the final score is a little misleading, but you know, give them credit for not folding. Go on the road in a place like that, and you're getting beat pretty bad, and could have been easy to just kind of walk away, but Thorne showed a lot of fight. That was some good things you saw from him. And then, you know, at second goal line stand, he already did it once, and you're losing convincingly, and you're able to do it again. That was impressive as well.
And I thought Jarek Broussard looked good in the first two games. That had to be the worst game of his career. The first time I think he touched the ball, he had a big hole. Could have been a long gain, and he missed it. He went the wrong way. And then he had the slip in the end zone when Matt Carrick was driven back. He didn't step on his foot, but he was trying to get around him, and he slid, and it was a safety. I'm not quite sure why he was in the game at that point. If I have the ball at the one-yard line, I'm not going to have some dancer and prancer who makes two cuts in the backfield. I'm going to have Elijah Collins in the game, but that's just me. And then there was the play where he went the wrong way, which was critical. Peyton Thorne opened up to the right, and Broussard went to the left. Then there was a two-point pass that he dropped that you could have caught. I mean, this was a nightmare day for Jarek Broussard playing against a team from his old conference.
Yeah, and he got absolutely laid out on a kickoff return, too, at one point.
Oh, he did.
So, yeah. It was not to pile on, but, I mean, it was not a good day for him at all. I don't know what the deal was, but, not a good day. But then again, you know, Berger didn't have an outstanding day, and there were plenty of others on the team who did not have a – I'm sure they were not graded very highly by the coaching staff for how they played. But, I don't know, that was a puzzler. It would be interesting to see, you know, because he only got, what, three carries in the game? So, I don't know, maybe more Elijah Collins. There was a guy they put in down the stretch, and, you know, he's obviously worked hard. He's dealt with some adversity and stuck it out when I think – a lot of people, if not most people in his position, would have transferred a year or two ago. I don't know. Maybe we'll see more of him down the stretch, but not really anything positive to take away from the running game. Peyton Thorne was the best one carrying the ball for them last week.
Do you have a prediction on this game yet, Matt? We just got one from Tom Crawford. He likes Michigan State in overtime. We're going to have Andy Greeter on talking with the Gophers in just a second. But do you have a score pick yet?
I did. I turned my picks in on Tuesday. So I have a score that I'm not confident in, if that helps.
Okay.
I picked Michigan State 27-24. I have no idea. I don't know. Again, because like I said, I don't really know what to really make of Minnesota. We'll see if they're a West Division champion type team, or they're an 8-4-ish type of squad.
Yeah. I liked Michigan State close in a game where it was both teams' best 22. But now if it's Michigan State's 17 minus five starters versus Minnesota's 21 minus Chris Ottman-Bell, who's a terrific receiver, by the way, I'm not sure Michigan State can win this game. Barring some turnovers or some heroic plays by the Spartans. Matt, thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow in the box.
Sounds good, Jack. Have a good night.